I heard about this lost city in Colombia.
Come on, let's go.
The city in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by jungle.
I was asleep.
Vamos.
The next thing I knew, there was a gun pointing in my face.
Vamos.
What the hell is going on here?
I was absolutely terrified.
We've been kidnapped. I have to find a way to get out of here.
We're going to escape.
If you try and escape, we will kill you.
They just put the gun next to my head.
They're going to shoot him and make me watch it.
From Wondery, this is Locked Up Abroad. I'm your host, Jim Clementi. Today's episode is
Colombian kidnap. 30-year-old Rainey Weigel is at the end of a long trip to South America and wants to visit the legendary lost city, a thick tropical rainforest on the north coast of Colombia. She and Erez Etevil are joined by four others who begin the three-day journey. When they arrive at their destination, it's late, and they decide to spend the night before beginning the return trek. At 3:30 a.m., they're awakened by guns in their faces and machetes at their throats. They've been kidnapped by guerrillas in this remote region of Colombia. As weeks turn into months with no sign of release, the hostages become increasingly desperate and different alliances form. Cooperation with the kidnappers versus outright resistance, with both groups pushing their tactics to the limit.
I was 30 years old. I was at the end of a long trip to South America. I was born in Germany, and I was working as a physiotherapist in a hospital in Switzerland. While I was traveling, I heard about this place called the Lost City in Colombia. And I thought, well, that would be just a nice last kind of highlight to my trip. I hadn't been sure whether to go to Colombia at all. I just knew that it's a bit dodgy. I didn't want to get into any trouble. So I checked it out and really made sure it was safe to go. And I went straight to Santa Marta, this town where they organized the trip.
I want to do the trek.
I just said I want to do the trip to the Lost City.
Are you alone?
Yes.
It takes 5 people to do the trip.
She said I just have to wait around for more people.
Okay.
I just hang out in the hotel, just sitting there and getting bored.
Hi.
Hola.
And then I heard some voices.
I'd like to go to the Lost City.
And that's when I saw Erez for the first time.
I was 24 years old. I'm from a little town next to Tel Aviv, near Tel Aviv in Israel. I came to Colombia at the end of a very long trip after the army. I hated the army. I hated all the tough discipline.
How many of you are there?
I needed somewhere that nobody tells you what to do.
I'm by myself.
So I bought a ticket and went to South America.
He said, hey, I'm Erez.
I'm Rainey.
I'd like to go to the Lost City too.
He seemed like somebody that I would get on with.
Okay, beer. We drink beer.
But about 10 o'clock at night,
cheers.
Four Israelis came to us and said,
relax.
We heard you wanted to do the hike. We want to do it too. And then just the spur of the moment, we decided, okay, so we'll do it tomorrow.
Before I left, I sent an email to my parents and to my friends, and I said that I'm going to go on this trip into the jungle, to the Lost City. I should be back within a week. How wrong could I be? We got out of the minibus and started hiking pretty much straight away.
Come on, let's go.
I thought that we were going to go mountain hiking. But as soon as we started hiking, I realized that it's not mountains at all. It's only jungles, and I hate jungles. Oh, it's just trees, mosquitoes, and humidity.
After 3 days of intense hiking, we finally got to the Lost City.
It's too late tonight, we're gonna stay there.
But it was getting towards the end of the day, so we decided just to go to the hut and get up really early in the morning.
I always carried cards with me the whole trip.
Yeah, you wanna play whist?
I'm only kidding.
Benny and Urpaz were two Israelis that just left the army.
Benny, he was cracking jokes and trying to be a comedian.
Make up the rules, yes?
There was a Spanish guy, Asier. He was laughing and I thought, oh, he's a cool guy.
Come on.
There was an English guy called Mark. He was very quiet. Come on. Next to me was Matt.
Stop looking at my card.
He was 19.
It's called cheating.
Fun, but a little bit cocky.
Matt thought he knew everything.
Yeah, come on, wise guy.
It was nice to see it.
We had a good evening and then thought, okay, we better go to bed now.
Good night.
I was hoping for a good night's sleep so I could be fresh for the Lost City. But that wasn't how it turned out. It was around 3:30 or 4.
Let's go, vamos, vamos, vamos.
There was a guy standing there with a gun. What's happening here?
Hey.
Where did he come from?
Wake up, wake up.
He poked me with the gun, so I could feel the barrel.
Vamos, vamos.
Okay.
I was frightened.
I just stopped.
What the hell is going on here?
Suddenly, this machete came towards me. I was absolutely terrified.
Go, go, go.
And he said, pack your stuff.
Vamos, 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 vamos.
You have to come.
Manase, manase. Who are you?
I asked him, who are you?
We are Colombian army.
Vamos, vamos.
They said Colombian army.
Vamos.
I thought that if it's the army, then you don't need to be afraid. The army is not here to hurt you. They're here to help you.
Vamos, vamos, vamos.
They led us to this clearing in the middle of the jungle.
Vamos, vamos, vamos.
Go, 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 go.
They told us we're going back to Santa Marta.
You,
let's go.
Start walking.
Move, 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 move. Vamos todos, vamos, vamos. En fila.
A couple of hours later, Matt came up to me and said, look at them.
That guard is wearing jeans.
One of the guards is wearing jeans. He can't be a real soldier. But they're not army. He said we've probably been kidnapped. I thought, he's a kid, well, what does he know? If kidnappings are common in Colombia, I would have heard of it probably. I've been here for a week.
I don't think so.
And I said, let's just see what happens.
We were walking along this ridge line. Matt came up to me and he said, this doesn't look right to me. I want to get out. I'm going to jump off the side of the hill and do you want to come?
You want to come?
I said, this is not a movie, this is real life. You don't jump off somewhere and don't get hurt. I just said, I'm not going to jump.
Matt said, listen, Erez, I'm going to jump off the hill. If you want to come with me, then come. And I said, but you're going to get yourself killed. He said, are you coming or not? And I said, well, no. And he just ran.
Hold it, hold this gun.
Matt was gone.
I heard screaming and shouting behind me. Matt had jumped. Maybe they could shoot one of us for it. I just got really scared.
Where are you?
I guess we need you.
They just started laughing and shouting.
I guess we need you.
The tigers are gonna eat him. There was no emotion. Okay, we lost one. Let's go on.
Move.
That really freaked me out. I just thought these guys don't care at all.
Okay, let's go.
I don't think anybody thought anymore that they're the good guys.
Let's go. Vamos. Vamos.
The end of the first day, I was just numb.
Here.
What's going to happen now? We woke up in this pigsty. This guy appeared.
I am General Carlos.
He said that he was the boss.
We need your passports.
Dice mi comandante.
He said, you are kidnapped. We want some money for each of you.
Understood?
Either you pay us what we want, or you get hurt. Simple as that.
Don't try and escape, because if you try and escape, we will kill you. It was so painful not knowing whether I was going to live or not, whether I was going to see my parents and my family again.
Once you know you're kidnapped, you feel drained out, real depressed.
You could hear this noise. It was getting louder and louder. It looked really, really scary.
You can see the water cracking on the rocks, and it was really frightening.
I really didn't want to go. I just didn't have the courage.
Rainy went in front of me. She was really frightened.
I just kept trying to concentrate on not slipping. It was impossible. I was so scared and desperate. I suddenly had enough of it. Just freaked out. I was screaming so loud that nothing existed anymore. Just this noise. The next thing I knew, there was a gun pointing in my face. I just looked into it and thought, maybe now it's finished.
Go!
Maybe now he'll shoot me.
I felt bad when I saw Riley in that situation. But I knew there's nothing I could do. They just dragged me through the river.
As yet, the Spanish guy kept saying, calm down, calm down. And somehow it worked. One minute you want to die, the next minute you think, oh, maybe I can still make it. I knew I was losing my mind. We started to see a pattern after a while. We would walk for a few days and then be in a camp for a few days. But we never knew how long we were going to stay in the camp or how long we would walk for.
Vamos, vamos!
Go!
Vamos!
Move! Move!
They had no compassion for us.
Vamos! Go! Go!
They've seen the suffering and they didn't care.
Go! Vamos!
Vamos!
And suddenly, it hit us that we're walking like a pack of sheep. The Holocaust was in our head. They just walked, they did what they were told, and they ended up killing 6 million people. I just decided, no more, I'm not walking anymore. So I just stopped, and I just sat down. So they just started pushing me and said, go on, go on, don't play with us, we're not kidding, and said, I'm not moving from here.
From here.
That's it.
Move!
Vamos!
Eris was really pushing it, trying to get reactions out of them.
We are not kidding.
I'm not moving.
I was afraid. I was afraid of somebody getting shot.
I'm not moving.
The kidnapper had enough.
Go, go, go.
And he just put the gun next to my head. And he said, I'm going to shoot you.
I'm going to shoot you.
I took the gun and I put it inside my mouth. And I said, here. You want to shoot? Shoot. Go ahead.
You want to shoot? Shoot.
It was a test. I realized that they can't do anything without an order. I felt I won.
Eris' tactics just really annoyed me because it put all of us in danger. I wanted to live, and I realized I had to come up with my own strategies of survival.
Vamos!
Vamos!
They were constantly pushing for us to keep going, keep going, keep going.
Vamos, vamos!
It was horrific. I started getting really dizzy.
Go, go, go.
Suddenly, everything was spinning. I'm gone. I realized that I was being carried. I could see a little bit of the outline of his face. It was the same guy that had put the gun on my head. His name was Rafa. He kept carrying me for like 3-4 hours. Rafa looked at me as if he was worried about me.
Stay there.
It was just that look in his eye, which was very strange for somebody that put a gun on my head. I thought, if I can make this guy love me, then he'll be on my side. Then he'll maybe even help me to escape.
I'm sure many of you are listening from your cars right now. That's where I do most of my listening, too. And one of my favorite ways to pass the time and hear amazing stories is through Audible. Audible has the best audiobook performances, the largest library, and the most exclusive content. Lately, I've been listening to an amazing book, The Devil in the White City, by Eric Larson, narrated by Tony Goldwyn.
It follows notorious serial killer H.H. Holmes and architect Daniel Burnham, two men whose lives took very different paths during the lead-up to the 1893 Chicago World's Fair. Right now, my listeners can start a 30-day trial and get their first Audible book free. Learn more at audible.com/lockedup. That's audible, audible.com/lockedup.
It was around 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning. We were staying in a camp, and I really liked the fact that we weren't walking anymore.
Un mochilero britannico.
The news in the radio said the name Matthew Scott.
Matthew Scott.
The Matt that jumped on the first day. The radio was saying that Matt was found after 12 days.
Oh my God.
He barely survived, but was now on his way back to Bogota.
I couldn't believe that Matt had actually succeeded in getting out.
You believe that?
I was really happy for him. He did it. But it only took a few seconds for me to be depressed about it. He did it. I could have been there with him now. And I'm stuck here.
I should have gone with him.
I said he still put our lives in danger and he was stupid.
He could have died out there.
We're the stupid ones, Rennie. We could be free.
And I actually told Aris to shut up.
Leave it.
At that point, we started to grow apart.
I just thought I have to find a way to get out of here. I needed to plan something and to be sure of it before I do it. I needed a place with a certain routine so I can follow what the guards are doing all the time. The opportunity came day 17. We woke up and we thought that was Jewish New Year's Eve, which for Jewish people is like a very family holiday. All the four Israelis, we get real depressed.
Aris was generally pretty negative and shouting at the guards.
You're in ball!
I tried to keep away from him as far as I could.
I went outside just to relax. And as I put my hand on the wall, I suddenly felt the wall starting to crumble. And I thought about it for a second. If it crumbles out here, it might be crumbling inside as well. I just scraped a little bit of the wall and I saw big chunks starting to fall off. Suddenly there was a big hole. This is our chance. But there were two pieces of wood holding the cabin together. I knew what had to be done. Went straight to the Israelis. I said, we have a chance to escape today. Are you gonna help me or not? They thought about it for a second.
Of course.
They all said, let's go for it.
I didn't pay much attention to Aris. I had already made the decision. He does whatever he wants. I'm going to do it my way. I wanted to get on with them, to gain their trust. Rafa said, are you still hungry? I'm like, yeah, I'm so hungry.
I'm so hungry, it's unbelievable.
I'll see if there's any food left.
Gracias.
The first part of the plan was to saw the pieces of wood. But the kitchen is right next to the hut. And all the noise he's making while sawing can get us caught.
Stop, stop, stop.
I realized I can use the fact that it's Jewish New Year's Eve to create a distraction. So I walked in the kitchen and said, can you turn up the radio? It's New Year's Eve, it's a very big celebration. We're singing, we're dancing all the time. Just turn it up. Let's have a party here.
Huh?
And they said, sure.
Yeah?
I turned up the radio. We wanted as much noise as possible. In the meantime, Benny was inside the room sewing the pieces of wood.
Hey!
I didn't say anything to Rainey because we couldn't risk that she would have told anything. Even by mistake.
Gracias, Rafa.
Okay.
My strategy was to get Rafa on my side. I felt like Rafa was the guy that would possibly help me to get out alive. So when Rafa brought me more food, that was already a success.
Suddenly, one of the guards decided that something was fishy. We see the guard coming towards the room where Benny was sawing the wood. I was sure he would be caught, but we had to keep on dancing. My heart was pounding so bad. That was the end of it. It's over.
Hey, come on.
Luckily, Benny had heard the guard approaching the door.
Why are you sleeping during the day?
By the time the guard got into the room, Benny had laid down in bed and made himself sick. So the guard wouldn't suspect anything. I felt like we had dodged a bullet. Okay, we can go on with the plan now. The hole was open. Benny had cut the wood almost to the end. The last bit of the wood we would cut at night. We knew all the guards went to sleep around 8. That's our best chance. The plan for the rest of the day was just look out for any suspicious behavior from the guards.
I just had my own little world, my own little bubble. I started to talk to Rafa about his life, just to get to know him better, or so he would get to know me more.
You should go back.
I wanted him, in the extreme case, to fall in love with me.
6 p.m. We went to bed. Rainy, Mark and Asier, they're in the same room with us, so we knew we need to tell them.
When Aris said we are going to escape, I thought, yeah, keep on talking. It's one of those, they were always talking about escaping. And he said, we made a hole. Are you interested in coming? I was like, oh my God, what do I do with this now? I said, I don't want to know anything about it.
Don't say anything to me anymore.
I don't want to know.
You don't want to come, that's your choice.
I said, we let you know. You decided to stay, that's your choice. By 8 p.m., most of the guards was asleep. Once every hour, on the hour, they checked on us. And then for a whole hour, nothing. Now we knew we had to cut the rest of the wood to free the hole altogether.
They were like coughing and making noises. I was pretending to sleep, hoping no guard would come in.
It only took Orpaz a few minutes to finish the job. We took the first backpack and put it under a blanket so they think that we're still lying there.
It looked actually like somebody could be sleeping there. Suddenly, it's very real. It really seemed like Aris was actually gonna do it.
Trying not to make noise, we went out of the hall. Orpaz was first. I was the last. There was nobody there. Nobody could see us. I wanted to scream out. But all you could do was just move before somebody will check us.
Mark was lying next to me. And I said, I think they've gone. Wow, they've done it. But I then started to get scared of what is going to happen when the guards find out. What was going to happen to me.
We didn't have any machetes. We had to make the way through with our hands. After about 20 meters up the hill, we could look back and see the guards.
There's the camp.
It was even more of a high, you know, we got away.
There's so much going on in my head. I thought maybe it's best if I quickly go through the hole too. But I was just scared of getting lost in the jungle and dying like that.
The adrenaline was just rushing, but it became so dense. We moved very, very slowly. We never thought it would be so hard to climb up there. And we don't have a lot of time.
It was impossible to sleep. My heart rate was just like boom, boom in my throat. And then suddenly the door opened. You could just see the torch and then counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He shouted, there's 4 missing.
Faltan 4.
And then my heart started going like,
come on.
That guard, he just picked me up and he said, get out. I got really scared. My legs felt like jelly.
Come on.
I got pushed to the ground.
You know something.
The guards are shouting, you know something.
Where are they going?
Put Mark on all 4. Put a gun to his head. My mouth was super dry.
Stop!
And I thought, if I don't give them information, they're gonna shoot him. Make me watch it.
I was just concentrating on the end of the hill. That is just one goal. We climbed and climbed and climbed as fast as possible. And then I heard shots.
We heard a shot. Then we heard a second shot. And I thought, well, they found two of them. They've shot them. I thought, oh my God. Then two more shots. And I thought, three and four found dead. I wonder what's gonna happen to us now.
I heard people screaming.
Don't say anything.
It sounded very close by.
Split up. Go, go, go.
It was obvious that they don't know where we are. So I rolled behind the bush. In less than 10 seconds, they saw me.
You think you're so smart? You're smarter than you!
To be caught was heartbreaking.
You thought you could get away?
Suddenly, this person came flying down on the ground. Just out of nowhere. And I said, oh, one of them they haven't shot. It was Eris. They rammed the gun into his stomach. They were all there getting beat up. Rafa totally gone mad. He totally freaked out. I was terrified. Okay, they're not dead. So are they gonna shoot them now as a deterrent?
You think I'm a stupid?
They yelled, the good times are over. You're gonna get what you deserve now. They put me in a chair and tied me up. It's from so high to so down that I just completely blanked, even though we couldn't get away. I still felt a winner. I really made them work to keep us.
Pretty soon they were harping on about how great it was to escape and to get some freedom. They thought it was incredibly funny, especially Eris.
It was worth it to taste the freedom.
And I got really annoyed with them.
What's so funny, Eris?
I told the Israelis that for me it was the worst night of my life.
I told Ryan, I understand what you're feeling, but I would have done it again.
The horror and the fear we had that night, it really put a rift between us. I started to get really sick. I had stomach problems, I was vomiting. The guards were getting really worried about me. They suddenly appeared with this cola.
Drink this.
So now I was standing there with this can of cola in my hand, and the others immediately said, what you got there? What you got there?
It's a cola.
Oh. I was like, oh, I can't possibly drink this by myself. I just pass it to Eris.
It's a matter of real hunger. You have nothing, and then the sip of cola was like the bright light of the day.
In one go, Eris drank half of the cola. By the time the can got back to me, it was virtually empty. I did say to Eris, why did you drink so much of it?
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't say anymore. The guards immediately gave me a second can because they noticed that I hadn't had any. I thought I'd better drink it now before they get here. So I drank the whole can by myself. And then I put it down on the side, and that was my big mistake.
What's this?
Eris said, you had another can, you don't share, and he really started freaking out.
I told her you're being selfish. You should share that cola.
I said, Eris, I shared the first one with you guys, and the second one is my medicine, so I drank it by myself.
You're out of your mind. You don't need a can of cola, you need food.
I need sugar.
I did try and defend myself, but the others just joined in.
You think only yourself, Rainy?
I don't know about that, Rainy.
I turned around and cried. I couldn't stop crying. I suddenly felt like I'm getting on better with the guards than with the guys I'm kidnapped with. This is so wrong.
I knew it was October 11th, which is my birthday. I immediately thought that that's going to be a very hard day for me. I needed to get all the stress out. My way was just to cry.
We were in one of the worst places in the jungle. I didn't even know whether I should say happy birthday. I mean, what was happy about this place? Nothing.
Ellis, happy birthday, man.
They all gave me their present. Everybody gave me a cigarette. It was kind of a happy little thing in the middle of the desperation.
Thanks, everyone.
Which didn't last for long. They suddenly came and say, pack your bags, we're moving in 2 hours. And that's when I got really, really depressed. I just saw a rope on the floor. I can just make a noose, tie it to the ceiling. I just stood next to it. I can just finish it now.
Eris had put a rope over the beam of the hut to hang himself.
No.
Said, come on, Eris, come down off that stool.
Come on.
And he just collapsed in a pile, in a sobbing mess, just crying. So I gave him a hug.
Ido!
But I didn't feel anything for him.
Eris?
It's just like, what has he done now? Yeah, it seemed very selfish to me.
I'm sorry.
It was out of pure desperation.
No.
But I don't know what would have happened if nobody would have stopped me.
We just walked and walked for days. And then one morning, the guards suddenly called Asier, the Spanish hostage, to come with them for a meeting. And they didn't come back. I thought, oh my God, what happened to him? But then a couple of hours later, they told us that he was getting freed. I thought, fantastic.
We were very happy for him, and it was good news for us as well. That means that they are letting people go.
A couple of weeks later, one of the bosses came into the camp.
Rainy,
you're going up the hill. Pack everything. Asier got released, and it was like, it's me next. I'm gonna be free. I got excited, but also a little scared. I'm leaving these guys behind. Eris gave me a hug.
See you on the other side.
Even though we had our differences and everything, it was hard to see her go.
Don't forget us, Rainy.
I said bye.
I won't forget you.
I won't forget you. After a couple of hours, we arrived at a camp. I walked around the corner.
Rainy.
And there was Asier.
Hi.
The Spanish hostage. It was great to see him again.
Wow.
But he looked totally different. He had army clothes on. He looked more of a guerrilla than they did.
Wow, what's going on?
I thought, what's he doing here? He should have been out of the jungle by now.
They say I was going to be
He
released.
Said they told him all the time that he was going to get released, and it never happened. I just collapsed in a heap. I thought I might be here for years. I got into a very strange state of mind. The insects that normally had really annoyed me, I didn't feel them. I wasn't really there.
We heard on the radio that Asier and Rainy weren't released at all. They're still in the jungle. It got us real upset.
We're stuck here, man. We gotta do something.
We felt we were running out of time. So I told them I was ready to kill the guards and fight my way out of here if anybody else would join me. And everybody said, I'm in. Let's make a plan. We decided we needed to kill the night guard, grab his weapon, and then attack the rest. Every time I saw a guard I always rehearse in my mind what I would do. It is scary. It's scary as hell, you know, to decide now that you want to kill somebody.
After a week, just lying there, not knowing whether anything was ever going to happen. They said, we're going to move tomorrow, but you have to put these army clothes on and you have to wear this ammunition vest. I thought it was pretty weird. But they told me that's for your protection, because if you look like one of us, you will be able to move around. I really didn't care. I just wanted to get out of that place as soon as possible. Suddenly I saw a person in the distance. It was Rafa. It was almost like meeting a friend. I still felt he could help me to get out of here. So I decided to spend more time with him.
Governments.
He started to explain what the guerrilla wanted. He said they were fighting for human rights.
We kidnapped you.
And that's why they kidnapped us, to get attention for the Colombian problem all over the world. It felt like everything was starting to make sense.
Oh.
I started to integrate into the team.
Platano.
I was part of the cooking routine.
Yes.
Rafa was kind of my personal guard.
You are very smart.
And he started to give me compliments all the time. Mm-hmm. One day we were just chatting away a bit. Rafa said, I want to come to Switzerland with you.
Switzerland with you.
We can get married, we can have children.
I think you need to get out.
I try to keep things vague and not say no.
You can contact me when you get out.
I was afraid. I was afraid if I upset him, that would make my life hell again.
About 2 weeks after Reini left, we started walking again. We were getting weaker because we barely ate, but still the whole group is into the plan to fight our way out of here. We just need to steal their guns so we can finish the job.
Vamos, vamos.
But because we're walking all the time, we couldn't find the right moment to attack the guards. I was willing to die in the attempt, but only if the chance comes.
The guards used to wake up at stupid early times in the morning with their coffee. Suddenly, one of the guards came up to me. He said, you're gonna get released. I was just numb. I kept saying to myself, if it doesn't happen, I need to be fine with that. I can't collapse. I need to be okay. Suddenly, this guy came into the camp.
Hey, are you ready?
He said he was a journalist. Can I have an interview with you? Suddenly, it all became real that I was gonna get out.
I have seen some mountains here. That you
After the interview, I said, would you mind taking a photo of me and Rafa?
For sure.
I really wanted a photo of that gun that had pointed to my head, because I had this feeling that it would help me to digest things if I had a photo of it. I asked if I could hold the gun.
Can I wear your gun?
Rafa said, yeah, no problem. And the journalist fired away. Looking back on it, this photograph was not a good idea. I actually ran to the helicopter. I was very happy, I was full of joy. As soon as the helicopter lifted up into the air, I thought, I'm not a kidnap victim anymore. I'm not a hostage. I'm free now. At least that is what I thought.
We walked for 26 hours without sleep. You're feeling like it's the last step you can take. But still, I was thinking about escape all the time. The plan was in my head. We need to kill one guard. Just take the gun and shoot them all.
Hey, we do tonight.
But they're all stalling.
We are too weak to attack them now.
They're all looking for reason not to do it.
We're going to do it tonight.
No, just wait, just wait.
They didn't have the guts to kill them. And I knew I couldn't do it alone. All those hopes for nothing, after suffering for 100 days, couldn't stand it anymore. I cracked up.
Hey, move!
Hey,
I mean, like, mad crazy.
Come on!
Come on!
Suddenly, the guard just told us,
hey,
the reason that they were in such a hurry to get to that point is because we're getting released.
You're going to be released! You're going to be released!
It was great to be out of the jungle after 101 days. That's it. I'm free. Even before I got to the baggage claim, I can hear my family shouting, "Welcome back, Erez." I gave my grandmother a hug, and they all carried me on the shoulders. That was the best sense of freedom there is. I felt like the biggest relief I've ever felt.
As soon as I was home, I realized this had gone absolutely massive. There were all these journalists camping outside our house. I gave my dad and my mom an enormous hug. I was unable to talk. I started shaking, just really glad to see them. The next day, my dad showed me a stack of newspapers. The one on the top had the photo with me and Rafa and the gun on it. I looked at it and it said, "Excuse me, who is the hostage here?" People suddenly thought I was a bad person. I then got a phone call from the German Foreign Office. There's a German law, if you get into financial trouble abroad, that you have to participate in the cost. They wanted me to pay for the helicopter that flew us from the jungle. And they said, "You owe 13,000 euros. I felt totally crushed by Germany, really let down by my own home country. I still battle with the effects of kidnapping. I still get panic attacks in the dark. I literally feel the gun in my back. It's called post-traumatic stress disorder. I need to accept this broken down person that came out of it. I have a hard time with that. And I feel only recently I start to get there."
I don't think they should have charged her for an helicopter. I mean, she's the victim here. Even though we had our differences and everything, I'm still friends with Reini. There is going to be a connection between us because we experienced the same thing.
Thank you for listening to Locked Up Abroad. You don't want to miss a single episode, so subscribe today on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, the Wondery app on Android, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You'll find a link to subscribe on the episode notes. Simply tap or swipe over the cover art. You'll also see some great offers from our sponsors. Please support our show by supporting our sponsors. If you have a moment, I'd love for you to complete a small survey at wondery.com/survey. Give us your ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts, and be sure to tell all your friends about our show. Locked Up Abroad was produced by Raw TV Limited for National Geographic Channels. For our audio adaptation, the editor is Sergio Enriquez. Our producer is Donna Himes. Our executive producers are Jeffrey Glazer and Hernan Lopez for Wondery.